decided, hey, welcome to National Youth Pastor Sunday. Senior pastors all over the country take the last Sunday off after Christmas, and we get to preach. And so I'm excited, always excited about preaching. And I knew Brother Paul was leaving, and a couple weeks ago, I kind of told him where I thought we were headed today and on this particular passage. So we're going to read the first 12 verses of this and kind of looking at the wise men. The wise men are part of the Christmas story, and we add them in to fit in our program. We'll put them at the manger. Well, they didn't go to the manger, so it's sometime later. But in Matthew chapter 2, it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men came from the east, arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at the rising and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes and the people and asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this text that gives us some insight of worship, that gives us some insight of seeking. May we understand it better as we leave this place than as we came in. Soften our hearts to hear the message. Let not one word come out of my mouth that's not from you. May they not hear my words, but you speaking through my words. Remove me from this message. And God, if there's one here today that would say, I don't know this Jesus, may today be their day of salvation. May they come to the realization that they need a Savior, and that Savior's name is Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. As I was talking to Paul, Brother Paul, about this message, he said, you know, biblical studies have shown that the wise men actually took their wives on this journey. And the journey was some 1,300 miles. And so from the east until where they get is like 1,350 miles. But he said, you know, biblical studies have proven in the text that the wise men took their wives. I'm like, I've never read that in my studies. I've never understood that. He goes, yeah, it's absolutely there. He goes, they stopped for directions. As men, we typically don't stop for directions. My wife said, amen. My wife says, why is your GPS female? Because you don't ever listen to me. Like, but the wise men came from 1,300 miles away following a star. How did they know there was a star? How did they know what that star meant? I think you can go back some 800 years to this man called Daniel. And Daniel living where the wise men are from, teaching them about this Messiah being born in Bethlehem, teaching them about this Messiah, there being a star that's talked about in Numbers. And in Micah, it says that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. And him teaching and writing, and they have those readings. They're searching, and they come across this text. The star is going to appear. And it's going to lead us to someone. So this journey they take us on, I want to look at this journey. Because the wise men seek him. I want you to ask this question of yourself. 2025 is upon us. Are you going to seek Jesus in 2025 better than you did in 2024? Because as I look back on 2024, I'm like, did I do everything that God wanted me to do? I can't say that I did. Because I'm not perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. But are you going to seek Jesus better in 2025 than you did in 2024? The wise men sought him. You know, their journey was a journey of faith. They traveled this great distance, 1,350 miles. And that distance required some things of them. It took time. My son-in-law and my daughter and their kids traveled back to Texas. It's 1,000 miles. Traveled it in 16 hours. That's great. That's a rough trip. I've made it. But it's not 1,300 miles on a camel or walking or a donkey or whatever transportation they had. It took time for them to get to where Jesus was. It took resources for them to get. How did they afford that trip? I mean, I can't go back by a Buc-ee's without stopping. And they didn't have Buc-ee's back then. If you haven't been to Buc-ee's, you need to go. I'm a Buc-ee's fan. If you're not, you just don't know what you're missing. It took energy for them. It took time. It took resource. It took energy. They have to go 1,300 miles. And they didn't have a boat. They're traveling over land. It's a long, hard trip. It took sacrifice. They're leaving their families. They don't even know where they're going. See that star? I'm just going to follow that star. To where? I don't know. Is it 50 miles? 2,000 miles? They just find. You know, experience the presence of Jesus in your life requires a journey of faith. It requires that. And so you see in Acts chapter 14, it says, they encourage them to continue in their faith, reminding them that they must enter in the kingdom of God through many tribulations. You're going to have trials in your life. You're going to have difficulties in your life. It's going to happen. James has counted all joy when they happen. They're coming. How do you handle it? How do you handle when that person, that family member, that person that you don't get along with really ticks you off? Turn the other cheek. That's what Jesus says. What Tog mentioned, and I don't like that one. Man, that was conviction in my heart. I want to respond. I want to respond to someone. I don't want to have that gift of sarcasm. Spiritual gift. It's not from God, though. It's from the other side, and it gets out of hand sometimes. That's just me. I know you're not like that. But in our journey of faith, we need to grow up. We've got to be. It's going to take time, it's going to take resources, it's going to take energy, it's going to take sacrifice for us to grow in this journey. Are you willing to do that in 2025? Better than we did in 2024. Galatians says this, but we who live in the Spirit eagerly wait to receive everything promised to us who are right with God through faith. Are you eagerly waiting to receive what God has promised you? Do you even know what he's promised you? If you're not in his word, you can't know what he's promised you. If your faith journey is only coming to worship on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday, that's not good enough. It's a discipline day by day by day by day by day. What are your goals? What are your spiritual goals for 2025? One of my goals every year is to read the Bible through in a year. It takes about 15, 20 minutes. Maybe a little bit longer in some of those books because you struggle through it. But, 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 at most. You can read the Bible through in a year easily, okay? Is it going to be tough? Yes, it's going to be tough. You're going to hit numbers. You're like, oh, my gosh, why do I need to know all these sacrifices? Well, because you don't have to make all those sacrifices because Jesus was a sacrifice. Praise God. They had to do a lot. You don't. You have grace, all right? So that's one of my goals. One of my goals is to read a book every week. It's one of my goals. All right, some years I don't get it, some years I do. It's one of my goals. What are your priorities? What are the big things in your life, in your spiritual walk, that you're willing to put time, energy, sacrifice towards? That's going to make a difference in eternity. As we're looking ahead for Christ coming back. See, if we're going to experience the presence of Jesus in our life, it requires a journey of faith. So, first, it was a journey of faith that they took. Second, they came to worship. They came prepared to worship. They knew they're going to the star and they're going to worship a king. So when there's a new king coming and born, and that custom of the day was you brought gifts. So they know this king is coming. They're going to bring gifts. What do? They go to the local king. Hey, where's the next king at? We heard this king's been born. Where is it? Now it's King Herod, and he is mean, nasty, just horrible person. And so we know the story, the backdrop is he's like, hey, where's he born at? And we know that because they asked the question of where is he born, these guys did not have access, it doesn't appear, to Micah. So we think, biblical scholars think that they may have had access through Daniel with Numbers, that text, that Daniel knew that text. But Micah was a prophet around Jerusalem area. Daniel is living in Babylon, which is Iraq, in that area. And so Daniel may not have known about Micah when, and so there's some time difference there. So Daniel didn't have that. Micah tells us he's going to be born in Bethlehem. If they had that text, they wouldn't have had to ask to stop and ask for directions. They would already know. So they go to King Herod and they said, hey, we're traveling, we're following the star, and there's a new king being born. Who is he? Where is he at? And Herod's like, I don't know. He talks to his magicians, his scholars, hey, where is this king going to be born? And they go, oh, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Oh, he's supposed to be born in Judea. And they're like, he's like, oh. And he goes back to him, he says, hey, go to them, find him, and come back and let me know so I can worship too, which we know is false. Which we know he had an ulterior. But they came to worship. How many times in 2024 did you walk through those doors prepared to worship? Or did we walk in, oh man, it was a fight to get them kids dressed. Man, you and your spouse are fussing and fighting, arguing and everything. You get, oh, hey, hallelujah, good to see you. But in the car, you're like, ah. It happens, right? And then we walk in that door, praise God, good to see you. Oh, things are great, my life's going good. We had a great week. Did you really? Your kids are like, you're like, oh, please, kids, don't say anything about what happened in the car. When you hit the brake and stuck your hand out so your kid hits the face. That's me. You wouldn't do that. They came to worship. They traveled 1,350 miles to worship this king, this Messiah, this one that was born, this one that was prophesied. However that word. They came expecting to worship. Do you come expecting to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, every single time? I can't say that I do. Why? Life happens. It's been a tough week. Brother Tim, you don't know what I went through. I don't, but he does. So often as we come into this building, we come to expect God to come looking for me. We expect God to explain himself. We expect God to prove existence. We expect God to give us some gifts. The wise men sought after the Messiah. They came seeking Christ. They came giving him their best. They came to worship him for who he is. Do you? Do I? You see, 1 Chronicles says, give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship him. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. 1 Chronicles 16:29, if you want to write it down. Nehemiah says it this way in chapter 9. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heaven and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve and give life to everything, and all the angels of heaven worship you. That's the God we serve. That's the God we get to worship. That's the God we come in to learn more about. And in Psalms 95, it says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the sheep under His care." That's the God we get to walk in through these doors and have a shepherd who faithfully teaches and preaches about His glory and about who He is, and that someday He's coming back, and we need to realize that we need this Savior, Jesus, and be living it out day by day. Oh, that we would listen to the Word of God. Oh, that we listen to His voice each and every day. But we would understand who He is, and He never stops talking. We stop listening. I got a text. I was sitting right down there. I got a text last week. Service had started. I get a text from the security team. "Hey, I just met your brother, Dave, and I sent him to the big building. My brother came to church last week." Now, I have two brothers. I have a twin brother and I have an older brother. My older brother, you know, through, both of them lost their wives this year. But my older brother made an hour and a half trip. And realizing most of that trip, he was going to be late. He goes, "I knew last night I had to be in church, and I knew that church needed to be yours. I knew I had to get up and go to church. I knew it was an hour and a half trip, and I got on, and it was traffic, and I knew I had to be there." And he kept going. It took him 2 hours to get here. And he walked in late, but he heard the message. And he talked about it at lunch. He goes, "Man, I really enjoyed that message. I don't know what God's doing in his life, but it challenged him to travel 2 hours to get to a church that he's going to be late at." He went to the old building to try to get in. He couldn't. The security team's like, "Oh, we don't meet there. We go back here." But he came. I'm praying that God continues to work in his life. That God, whatever God's doing in his life, to get him to have the unction to get up, get dressed, get in the car, travel at least an hour and a half to go to a church service because God told him to. God wanted him there. God's doing something. There's a lot of us, if it rains, we won't travel 15 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. It happens. Oh, that we would listen to what God wants to say to us. Not just on Sundays. Each and every day of the week, He's talking. Are we listening? Psalms 96. "Oh, give to the Lord the glory He deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship Him. Worship the Lord in all His holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before Him." You know, I hear this all the time. "When I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God." You ain't going to tell God nothing. Nothing. Because Scripture says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. What you're going to tell Him? Jesus is Lord. All right? What you're going to say is, "But God, I did this." And He may say, "Depart from me, I knew you not." If you don't have this relationship, right? If you're all about works and doing things. So we've got to come to worship. Are you coming to worship? Are you prepared to worship? Are you prepared to worship Him every single day? And you've got to spend time in God's Word. If I can encourage you, you want to make a change in your life. You want to make a change in your marriage. You want to make a change in your children. You want to make a change in anything. Spend time in His Word. Faithfully, consistently, dedicating that time, setting aside time. I had a counselor friend who implemented this rule. People come to me for marriage counseling. He goes, "I'll meet with you for 30 minutes, and then I'm going to set up 4 meetings. And the next 4 weeks, you're going to come, and you're going to meet at this time that we set up, and you're going to spend an hour in prayer with your spouse before I talk to you again." Would you be willing to do that? Spend an hour praying with your spouse? "Brother Tim, you don't know about them." No, but God does. My wife prayed for me for 5, 6, 7 years before I came to know Christ. Thank God I married a godly woman. Are you praying for your loved ones? Are you praying for your kids? Are you praying for your spouse? Are you praying for your grandkids? Are you praying for your neighbor? Are you praying for your coworkers? Are we being who God wants to be in our life, day in and day out? That's what He wants. He wants us to be, worship Him in every aspect of our life, glorifying God with our words. I work with a lot of coaches at the schools. And if they claim Christ, I will not say anything to a coach. I will say something to a coach. I can't say anything. Because even if you're not a believer, I'm going to talk to you if you use language, because I don't like language. I think if you use language to try to get your point across, you're probably not using enough of your brain. That's just me. All right? I think you can coach. I think you can teach. I think you do without dropping words. So I will talk to coaches. But if you claim Christ, I'm going to take you to Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth except that which provides grace to those that hear. If you claim Christ, I have this relationship with God, but then I'm dropping all these F-bombs and I'm dropping all this stuff. I'm like, huh, there's a disconnect someplace. And I said, you're claiming Christ, but this is coming out of your mouth. And Scripture says the overflow of the mouth is from the heart, right? So what's on the inside is coming out. Oh, you don't understand, Brother Tim. I just get passionate. No, I understand something's not right. Because when you get squeezed, whatever comes out is what's on the inside. When I talked to the youth, I said, hey, when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what's come out? Toothpaste. So when you get squeezed in the high-pressure moments of your life, whatever comes out is on the inside. If it's not godly, you got to fix it. And you got to let Him fix it, because you can't do it on your own. I used to cuss like a sailor. I worked construction. It's what you did. It's what you did. And then I came to know Christ, and my fear is not of the Lord, okay? One of my greatest concerns is I'll have, at some point, I'll need surgery, and I'll be coming out of surgery, out of anesthetic, and I will just get back to those words because of the pain. And it doesn't take me long to get back to those words. Can I tell you? If I'm outside of God's word, if I'm not dedicated and spending that time and I'm allowing different things to influence me, maybe it's a show, and I've told this story before, like years ago I was watching this show, and I loved the show, and they would bleep out the words, but you kind of knew what the words were anyway, and everything, Kim and I are talking, and she said something, and I said, quit being a smart butt. She goes, what'd you say to me? And I said, quit being a, you did not say that. You said the other word. For donkey, but not donkey. It's a King James word, but it's in there. Check it out. I said, and I started looking back. I'm like, I did say that. I just said that to my, why did I say that? I started evaluating. And what I realized, it had been about 3 or 4 days since I'd been in God's word. I wasn't meditating on this. This wasn't the first thing that came to mind. This wasn't where my thoughts were. And so I was listening to that show, bleep, bleep. Bleep, bleep. All those words going in here. Because I knew what the words were. All that was in here. This wasn't coming in here. I wasn't using the full armor of God. You hear me? And then what happened? It came out. I didn't even know I'd said it. I would have bet money that I said smart butt. Until she called me out on it. What are you trying to say, Brother Tim? Well, the third point is this. We have got to be students of God's word. We've got to be students of God's word. Got to take the scriptures. And I know we don't like the word students. We're not in school and we don't want to study. But the wise men studied the prophecies. They were, in fact, there's a thought that the word here that they use for magi, that we get the word magician from, is the same word that Paul uses for magi in the New Testament further on. And so it's like these people, Paul's saying, hey, don't even associate with these people. These people that Paul later on says don't associate with because they're dealing with witchcraft are the same people seeking Jesus here. There's a connection there. Jesus is, there's so much stuff here that we could get into, but we don't have time. I'm just saying you got to study God's word. You got to study it and understand it. The scriptures will give direction in your life. You don't know where to start? Start in Proverbs. There's 31 chapters. Guess what? Most months have 30 days, right? I couldn't tell you which unless I say the song. All right? But whatever day of the month it is, read that Proverbs. Today is the 29th. Proverbs 29 is your proverb of the day. Read it. Tomorrow's the 30th. Read Proverbs 30. Women, some of y'all don't like Proverbs 31. I get it. It's a tough bar. They raise it high. But on the 31st, you read, and guess what? Wednesday, you start over. You read chapter 1 on the 1st of the month. And then Thursday's the 2nd, and you go through that. And the whole month, and you do it again. And you do it again. And you'll be shocked how much insight you gain on how to live your life and spiritual truths and how to understand. You get to Proverbs 15:1. My kids had to memorize that. And I make them, they knew exactly where it was hung up in the kitchen. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How's your words? Are they glorifying God? See, the scriptures will give us direction in our life. The scriptures point the way to Jesus. The scripture tells us the plan for all of humanity. See, the Bible is God's love letter for us. You know, sometimes you hear, oh, I wish God would just audibly speak to me. He does. Read it out loud. That's his voice. All scripture is God-breathed, Timothy says. This is God's voice right here. Just read it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. Psalms 119:15. Study it to know the plan for your life. Joshua 8. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. That's the game plan that God gives Joshua as he's taken over this role of leader from Moses. He's saying, hey, I've given you the game plan. I've given you the game book. Just follow the plan. Same thing for us. Follow the plan. It's right here. A lot of times, this stays in our car. This Bible app doesn't get opened. This Bible app. Play Blockbuster, Blaster, whatever. Play a game. Watch videos. Social media. Someone challenged one of my groups, said, what if for every social media post you read one verse of scripture? What if for every video you watched, you read one scripture? How would that change your life? What if you took your social media time on your tablet or your phone and you took just half of that and studied God's Word? We've got to be students of God's Word on this journey of faith. Then the last point is this. What gifts shall we bring? The wise men were prepared. And they brought three gifts. We don't know how many wise men there were. We know they brought three gifts, so we just kind of tidy up and say there were three wise men. We don't know. It's an entourage. It's probably more than three, but we know they brought three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You want to do a phenomenal study. Study on those three gifts and what that means about who Christ is. Gold represents a king. Frankincense was a perfume. You go to the New Testament, you know, right before Jesus is killed, this woman breaks an alabaster box and pours this perfume in it. It just perfumes, smells the whole room. And they're like, you could have sold that, and it's a year's worth of money. And Jesus said, y'all don't understand. The poor will always be with us, but I will not always be with you. And myrrh was something that was utilized in the burial process. Each one of those gifts is significant for who Christ is. What a great student of the Bible, just grabbing that out. just understanding that aspect of what the Almighty. And these are not believers. They're just looking for this king that's coming. They want to worship. They want to give him the gifts. They don't understand he's the Messiah. We never hear that they truly understood that he was the Messiah, that they came to this relationship with Christ. We don't know. We never hear of him again. What gifts are you going to bring in 2025? The greatest gift given to the wise men was the gift of them. They humbled themselves to the lordship of Jesus. They knelt before this king. They're thinking earthly king. When's the last time you knelt before Jesus? Humbly said, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. I need your help. I can't do this. They offered their very lives to be in the presence of Jesus. They traveled 1,300 miles. They didn't know where they're going. Took their time, their energy, their resources. What are you willing to offer Jesus in 2025? What are you willing to do in 2025 different from 2024 to make a difference? It's not about going to a baseball game. I love Tennessee Volunteers. I love it. I've been a missionary to all the heathen of Gator Nation since 1985. Okay, I have. All right, I love Tennessee Volunteers. When I die, and I'm going to die, there's going to come a time I'm going to die, I do not want people to say, ooh, he was known to be, he loved Tennessee Volunteers. I love them. Love them, absolutely. But I want people to know that I love Jesus more than I love Tennessee Volunteers. I want people to know that I love Jesus more than I love baseball. I want people to know that I love Jesus more than I love my wife. And I love my wife. But I want them to know I love Jesus more than anything else in this world. They gave the best that they had to honor. Do you give the best that you have to honor Christ? Man, let's make that the goal for 2025. The gift of your life, the greatest gift you can offer is Jesus. Giving your life to Christ is the greatest act of worship. So the question today is, do you have that relationship with Christ? Philippians says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. May your life, may your words, may your actions this week, this coming year, bring glory and praise to God every single day. What if this group of people right here, man, we're sold out 100%, focused on God, lifting him up, doing what he will, submitting to his will, submitting to his direction, submitting to his, not my will, but your will be done in my life, God. Giving your life to Christ brings life. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for me, you'll find it. Matthew 10 says, are you willing to give up your life to find freedom? Some of us are holding on to some baggage. Some of us are holding on to some unforgiveness. Some of us are holding on to just hurt and pain and discomfort and just whatever. If we give it up, if we cling to Jesus, I didn't say it's going to be easy. But he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I will be your strength, your refuge, your ever-present help in time of need. Let's pray.